turn and dash to meet them. He waved his arms, and it was action. He was doing something. He shouted, "Help!" several times, more and more loudly, so as to give himself the illusion of helping. "Help! Help! Help!" The policemen pushed him out of the way and got on with their work. Three men with spraying machines buckled to their shoulders pumped thick clouds of soma vapour into the air. Two more were busy round the portable synthetic music box, carrying water pistols charged with a powerful anaesthetic. Four others had pushed their way into the crowd and were methodically laying out, squirt by squirt, the more ferocious of the fighters.
"Quick! Quick!" yelled Bernard. "They'll be killed if you don't hurry! They'll... Oh!"
Annoyed by his chatter, one of the policemen had given him a shot from his water pistol. Bernard stood for a second or two, wobbling unsteadily on his legs that seemed to have lost their bones, their tendons, their muscles, to have become mere sticks of jelly, and at last not even jelly, water. He tumbled in a heap on the floor. Suddenly, from out of the synthetic music box, a voice began to speak. The voice of reason, the voice of good feeling. The soundtrack roll was unwinding itself in synthetic anti-riot speech number 2, medium strength, straight from the depths of a non-existent heart. "My friends, my friends," said the voice so pathetically, with a note of such infinitely tender reproach that, behind their gas masks, even the policemen's eyes were momentarily dimmed with tears. "What is the meaning of this? Why aren't you all being happy and good together? Happy and good," the voice repeated. "At peace, at peace." It trembled, sank into a whisper, and momentarily expired.